In this interview, I sit down with commercial photographer Josh Rossi. We talk about the power of personal projects, influencer marketing, and the joys and challenges of living in Puerto Rico. This is TWIP. Hey folks, I'm here in beautiful San Juan, Puerto Rico with my new friend, Mr. Josh Rossi. We're gonna be talking about the business of photography, especially from the standpoint of marketing. This guy knows his stuff when it comes to marketing. You know, there's a certain amount of hyperbole that's attached to that when people say that, but in this case, there's not. This guy knows his stuff, and he is kind of what I would call a digital marketing alchemist.
Interesting.
That's somebody who takes things that are disparate and puts them together, like they used to put lead and all this other crap together to make gold. You kind of do that.
Cool.
Welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. It's awesome. Dude, we met yesterday.
Yeah.
And
we're already brothers.
Yeah. No, but it's been cool, like having you here, and obviously I live in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's just cool. Like, you guys came down and whatever, we connected, so it's awesome.
I love it. Yeah, we're down here with RGG EDU folks, and who they're a barrel of monkeys by themselves. But we get to hang out in this beautiful hotel. We're in the Gallery Inn in Old San Juan. You can hear the sounds of Puerto Rico around us. There are parrots. There are all kinds of creatures running around our feet.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of this. So this is cool. This is a perfect location to be talking about this. Before we kick all this stuff off, you know, a couple of things I want to talk about are sort of influencer marketing. You had some amazing success with viral campaigns, so I want to talk about that. But before we do all that, let's just set the stage about who you are. So folks that may not know who Josh is, who are you? And then secondly, why are you in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, so who am I? I'm a photographer, commercial photographer, and I actually started in video and in film. And the reason why I got into photography was because I wanted more control over like the whole creative process. You know,
sure.
With film, it's just the director and the producer and like everybody's involved. And I said, man, I want to produce one whole thing myself. You know, that was my idea. And so that's kind of what led me to like this whole composite photography thing, is because I could take control of that. And I could take different photos and I could put them together to create my own story.
Sure.
So that's where the inspiration came from.
Yeah.
I actually had to start off in construction, but more than construction, I started off like scooping poop.
Literally.
Yeah, I didn't even tell you this before. But
no,
like,
I want to hear this.
This was I was trying to get into like wedding photography, and I didn't know how to get in really. You know, I had to learn marketing and all that. So in the meantime, I actually got this job working for a company called Complete Restoration,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't like the funnest thing, you know, like just get calls at 4 a.m. and having to go and clean crap off the floor, like floods would happen, flood restoration, and fires, and you know, like all this crazy stuff would happen.
The worst of the worst.
Yeah, the worst would happen. And so I had to get a job there, and I remember talking with one of my friends, and actually, this is sort of funny, back up a little bit, there's been two times when people have come up to me, and they've been like, what are you doing with your life? But like in a weird, not sarcastic, but like a serious, like, what the heck are you doing
here?
The one time was when I was working at this job, and I was working with one of my friends, and I showed him my work, and he's like, dude, why are you working here?
Yeah.
Like pooping, you know, scooping poop.
Yeah.
Like, you should be doing something bigger. And so I don't think I believed in myself a lot initially. And it's taken time to like actually believe in myself. That was a big step.
Yeah.
Second time was I was at a wedding show shooting weddings, and I was doing all this crazy composite work.
Mm-hmm.
And a big like photo producer or like a magazine editor walked up to me, and she looked very New York, like collar, like very proper. And she walked up to me and she looked at my work and was just like she was just observing my art. And she looked at me and said, like, what are you doing here? And I took offense. I was like, what do you mean? What am I doing here? Like, I'm here for a wedding show, you know, trying to promote my stuff. She said, no, like you are meant for commercial photography. Like,
wow.
What are you doing here?
Wow.
And so I didn't believe in myself initially. And I think a lot of photographers, they worry about that. They're like, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so anyway, that was just a big, huge thing for me. And then once I got past that, then that's when things started to just explode. Once you start believing in yourself that things can actually happen,
mm-hmm.
then they actually do start happening. Your attitude changes and, you know, just.
But how do you get that? I want to get to the Puerto Rico stuff in a second.
Yeah.
But how do you get from the point, and this sounds like, it sounds like a movie, right? Where the, where like,
I know, it sounds good, like so generic.
Good Will Hunting, that's what it sounds like, it's Good Will Hunting.
It does sound pretty generic, but it actually happened.
But yeah. But how do you go from zero to hero, from shoveling turds to now you're the dude and getting millions of views? Like how do you make that leap of, like you mentioned self-esteem,
yeah,
and that part, how do you make the leap from where you were in terms of I can, you know, or I maybe can do this to, yeah, I can do it.
Dude, I think the number one thing, there's two things. Number one thing is fear that keeps us back. And I know that sounds generic, you know, but like literally fear keeps us back from absolutely everything. When we stop fearing what's gonna happen or what somebody's gonna say, things completely change.
Yeah.
Like here's the thing, dude, I would not reach out to any ad agency through email. Like email is so simple to send. You just send a line to somebody. I would not reach out for like 2 or 3 years because I was so afraid of that person on the other side. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know how they would react.
Yeah.
And that fear kept me from actually acting. So I changed my mind and I started just acting. And that helped me with my compositing. Like I would have one random idea. I had no clue how to produce it. But I'd say, let's just schedule the shoot.
Yeah.
The day before the shoot, I'd freak out. I'd be like, crap, we gotta get costumes, we gotta do this, that, and I'd somehow make it work.
Yeah.
So that
the train's moving at that point. The hard part is, sounds like, getting that train moving. Like I tell people about traveling.
Yeah.
The hard part about traveling is booking that ticket.
Yeah.
The first ticket.
Yeah.
Once that ticket's booked, it's autopilot. Because now you gotta get yourself to the airport at a certain time. Now you gotta get to the gate. Now you gotta get on the phone. Same with you. Now you gotta get the right lighting. Now you gotta get the assistance, you know.
And that's the thing, just like moving forward, you know, and it might sound generic to some people because they're already doing it, but a lot of, I think that keeps photographers back. Second thing is education, like educating somebody. Mm-hmm. The one quote that I love says, don't let your schooling get in the way of your education.
Mm-hmm. You know? Brilliant.
And so we've got it wrong where we think schooling is education, you know, in certain aspects.
Yeah.
And so we go waste our time and spend money learning, you know, from a, you know, it's not educating ourselves. It's just doing the same thing that everybody else is doing. So
yeah.
I think education is absolutely huge. If you knew how to do something, if you took Steve Jobs out of his, what he was doing, you put him in a random city to start over from scratch, he would make money.
He would.
So why can't you do that? Or why can't I do that? Why can't we be like Steve Jobs? Because we don't know how to do that.
It's right? Funny you mentioned that education, like the education piece of it, because I look at it from the standpoint of, so you have this this Rubik's Cube. Right, so you remember Rubik's Cube, right? So when I was growing up, we had the Rubik's Cube, and you know, there was this, somebody figured out there was this pattern that you could do over and over again that would solve the Rubik's Cube, and now you know how to solve Rubik's Cube, but you really didn't know how to solve it.
Dude.
You knew the pattern.
100%.
That's education versus, you know, it's like if you understand what you were doing on that Rubik's Cube, you could solve all kinds of cubes. It doesn't have to be the 9-sided key, you know, you could do whatever you want.
And people think that that's cheating.
Yeah.
The fact that you know the math behind it, same with like chess, the fact that you know the moves to make, people think that's cheating in a way. And that's how I thought, you know, so you want to do everything yourself. You want to create art yourself. You don't want any external influences. Yeah, but that's the wrong way of thinking. When you just accept like knowledge, you accept stuff like that. Like that's just how business works. It's just when you said that, that's how everything works. That's how, you know, at some point I started studying other photographers' work, and I just thought, man, like, okay, I'm really mimicking these photographers, but I just have to learn a style. So I would mimic one, then I would mimic another, and I would sort of combine those styles. And it is like a mathematical thing.
Yeah.
Where now, on every photo, I do this, and it comes out to be a cool photo.
There's nothing new under the sun, right?
Yeah.
We're just rearranging molecules for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, one thing you were saying kind of struck a chord, and that's that, again, back to that leap. And it reminds me of, I was a really shy guy in high school. Right, so shy that, you know, you'd be at a dance or whatever, and you know, my group of friends, we were all, you know, reasonably good looking kids, you know, whatever, so we had no weird leaps to get over, but except for our own selves, you know, because we would sit there by ourselves trying to be cool, you know, I'm not gonna talk to her, you know, and we ended up never talking to anybody because inside we were afraid to go talk to them. Right? And so we would never talk to the girls, and then, you know, you go talk to them these days, we're like, and they'd be like, I was hoping you would come over and talk to us, but you guys were over there acting cool.
Dude, right? That was me in photography. I mean, and in high school, but that was me in photography. That was the story of my life in photography.
It's like, I think it's the story of a lot of people's lives, even today, right?
And then once you realize who those people actually are, that they are actual people that you can talk to them, you start understanding things. But then once again, it goes back to education, like understanding somebody else's perspective, understanding like the industry and how it works, and ROI we talked about earlier. Like when you understand return on investment, you can go and pitch somebody in such an just a better way, you know, and get a job as opposed to just have somebody scroll through your email and be done. Yeah.
And a lot of it, is confidence and competence in your work, right? Because you could, again, you could be doing all this stuff, but if your work sucks, you know, you can market for a little bit, but you're not going to get much traction.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to be stellar. You have to be above the pack in terms of what you can do. Talk to that a little bit. Like, how do you get to that level?
So to preface this, my dad. So I'm Italian, born in Italy. My dad was straight from Florence, and he told me this true story. Two friends lived across the street from each other. One, so they both did art, and one painted, he got plates, and he would paint faces on plates. The other dude would spend time like making amazing pieces of art. So one kind of sucked, the other one was really good. Mm-hmm. One guy spent forever, the guy that sucked, spent forever marketing his stuff. And he would go to local markets and just try to sell it like crazy. The other guy would spend hours and hours perfecting his art. And my dad, after 10 years, true story, he went back, and guess who had the house that he wanted, the family that he wanted, the life that he wanted, the security, the freedom. It was a dude that marketed his butt off, even though his work wasn't that good.
Yeah,
and so, so to preface this, I want to say that it is the, it's not, like, if you do great work, it doesn't mean people know about it. If you have a great product, it doesn't mean people know about it. If they don't know about it, then nobody cares.
Right.
And so, I almost think the person that markets is going to beat out the person that's talented, you know, all day long. But, that being said, to go on what you said, the person that's talented that knows how to market, they're gonna beat freaking everybody.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So to speak on that, just kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
But you're both though. You're both. You're talented and you know how to market. Right?
I mean, well,
like two barrels of the shotgun.
Yes. I'm just kidding. No. So.
Yes.
No. So I think so. I did notice that I had a talent, but here's the thing, talking about marketing. So going back, which is funny, because you're like, you're good at marketing, you're good at photography. Dude, I used to suck at marketing. I was so, so bad.
Yeah.
My mom and dad have always owned their own businesses. And so I remember I owned a wedding video business for about a couple years. And I would sit and edit my website and rely on referral business, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my mom would, I just remember her coming in so many times. She's like, Josh, what are you doing? Like, you gotta go out and market and to get business. And I would, being the teenager I was, or I wasn't a teenager, I was like 22 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, mom, like, this is how this industry works. It's referral based. Like, people will contact me because of my work. And so I would seriously just sit home, and I went out of business after 2 years.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was really bad at marketing. And my parents, I talked to them, and they're like, man, you really didn't have any hope. I mean, seriously, like, you talk to them now, and they will say that about me back then.
Wow.
And they're like, it's crazy, like, what's happened to you? Like, you're marketing here, there, you make all these connections. But I think it's just, it's slow learning process, and it can be learned. Marketing isn't like necessarily talent. Like, you can be talented to get the math of it in your mind, but marketing, I think, is something learned. And
it's like cooking, you know?
Yeah.
I know when I put these ingredients together apply heat, this happens.
Exactly. It's like there's certain ingredients, you put them together, this is what the result will be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that with marketing. That's the cool thing. So now for the artists, it's like, don't be the starving artist. That was what I feared. I didn't want to be the starving artist, because I remember that story of my dad, what he told me.
Yeah.
And so I started learning about marketing. I started really mimicking, this whole idea of mimicking somebody else is just amazing. Like Tony Robbins said, the way that you can become successful is by finding somebody that is doing what you want to do and just following what they do.
Yeah.
And then you will get the same results.
Yeah, like, you want to be a doctor? Look at a doctor that you admire and either go talk to them or just mimic them and shadow them and do what they did.
Exactly.
Right?
So I found the photographer that I loved the most, that I thought was getting the most work, the highest paying work. I mimicked his work. And then I found another photographer that was making crap loads of money. I mimicked his work and I combined it. And that was the first step.
Yeah.
You know, the math behind it.
Yeah.
Then from there, I had to learn how to reach out and how to actually get work. And so that was like some A/B testing here and there, you know, meaning just I would send emails and see what people would respond, and it didn't work. And then at one point I was watching, so YouTube had come out. When did YouTube come out? I don't even know.
Oh geez, yeah, I want to say early 2000s.
Okay. So this was maybe like 2009, 2010. So like it'd been a while, but I remember sitting at home, I was actually sitting with Angel, and we were sitting together, and we were watching this video on YouTube of like this videographer that did something cool in Hawaii or something. And I thought, man, I want to reach out to this guy. This guy gets a lot of views. Maybe I could get posted on his page. I don't know, like, he just seems cool.
Yeah.
So I reached out to him. This guy's name is Devin Graham, Devin Supertramp. And so I reached out to him, and he got back to me in a second. And he said, dude, I would love to do a photo shoot with you, you know? It's like, what the heck? That was easy.
Yeah.
Like, I never tried. I was too scared to try it before, and so I tried it.
Yeah.
And so I got in with him. I did photos of him. And that was my first experience with influencer marketing.
Which I want to talk about. I think that's going to be our next topic.
Yeah.
But like, before we go into influencer marketing, what about failure? Because that's the other thing that marks success, is the ability to absorb and rebound from failure. You talk about that a little bit, and how you're able to do that.
Yeah. Dude, business is hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, be freaking honest.
Yeah.
Like if you want to own your own business, that's the first step, is setting expectations. If you expect to not fail, I think you just shouldn't be in business. Like, or you should just be open to learning that's just part of business.
Sure.
Is just failing and feeling like you suck, and then feeling like your business is going under, and then trying to solve it. Yeah. I just think,
and that builds scar tissue. Right?
Yeah, scar tissue, and you build it up, and you understand. I think one of the best things photographers can have, speaking of fear, and the opposite of fear, is to be able to problem solve. Because problem solving will sort of push fear out, you know, because you can say be confident, you know, but it's hard for people to be confident when they don't have any skills, maybe they don't know how to do something. So one of the best things that happened to me was I just started learning how to problem solve. I just did it. That was it. Just doing it, being in the field, like failing, you know, doing something else, figuring it out. And then you start becoming better at problem solving. So then what gives you security is problem solving.
Yeah.
You know, so then you can do anything.
Yeah. It's kind of like what we were talking about before about practical versus theoretical, right? So knowing how to do something.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? Knowing how to do it, like book learning. I know how to do this, and there's a little lizard watching us right there. So
that's hilarious.
I was like, who is that down there watching?
Dude, you're in Puerto Rico. You'll see, you have a spider on your back.
I do?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There were some people in my room, I assume. But you're, you know, learning, knowing how to do something. Let's say it's podcasting.
Yeah.
You could read a book on podcasting, understand how all this stuff works really easily, but having never deployed one, it's going to be hard, right?
Totally.
But it will be hard until you figure it out and make mistakes. Once you make mistakes, you got that scar tissue, and you're like, oh, okay, now I can launch a million podcasts now,
yeah.
You know, in my sleep. It's easy. Same thing for all this stuff, right? Once you could read marketing books all day long, but until you take one of those techniques that they talk about, try it, and, oh, that didn't really work as well as I thought it would, then try something else, tweak, and oh, that one worked. You know, and do more of that.
And the thing is, I don't think the same exact marketing will work for absolutely everybody.
No,
you know, so that's why you have to test. And so I teach a lot about marketing, you know, the business of photography.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have the boot camp or whatever where I teach influencer marketing, I teach all this stuff. And the thing that I realized is I was teaching this, a lot of this stuff for free to people, and people would come back to me and say something so interesting. They'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm having a lot of success. So people were actually getting amazing results from what I was teaching. They're saying, I'm having a lot of success. I said, cool, like what techniques did you use that I taught?
Yeah.
And they would say something totally different.
Interesting.
And I was like, I never like taught you how to do it in that way. But what I realized is when somebody hears marketing and they hear that it's possible what you're doing, then they start problem solving, and they start understanding a different way of doing it.
That's exciting.
So that's why you just have to do it. Like the marketing, you know, I mean, we talked about marketing today, like, like you could do exactly what I told you, maybe not see results, but like you tweak it a little bit and you can see crazy results.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, you know? yeah. All right, let's switch gears and talk about results.
Cool.
So, viral campaigns.
Yeah.
You went into digital alchemist mode and launched this viral campaign that went literally viral. But a lot of people, and let me set the stage for this, a lot of people will think, you know, they think viral, they think YouTube video that's getting a gazillion views or whatever, you know. But they think, most people think the way that happens is you build something amazing or something controversial or whatever and you post it and you sit back. And then magically, things drive people to that post, yeah. right? And now I
just magic.
Hey, it went viral.
You it's know? Like the lotto.
Yeah, lottery. That's where that whole phrase went. It went viral.
Yeah.
Right? So your standpoint is different, right? You don't wait for things to go viral by themselves serendipitously. Talk yeah. about your process.
Yeah. So basically, what happened was I'm not, just to preface this, I'm not like a viral video sensation, or wasn't before this. You know, I saw mm-hmm. all my friends that were continuously going viral, like week after week, and they were known as like the viral videographers, and I felt like I was just estranged from that. Like I wasn't that person. I didn't know how to do that.
Yep.
But I decided, you know, like let's just try it out. Once again, let's just do something about it. So I learned how to do it first. I asked from different industries, my friends that were going viral. I said, like, what's the key to this? Like, how did you do this? One of the biggest keys was distribution, which I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what do you mean distribution? Like, you actually have to distribute your video to other people? It's like, yeah. Like, okay, that's the first one. Second one was, like, okay, so when do you distribute? You know, yeah. how and then when do you distribute, which are both equally important. Yeah. The when I learned was at the same time. Because when you distribute at the same time, it creates social proof. You know, it creates a bunch of people creating hype around it. So you pretend, you know, that it's going viral in mm-hmm. a sense.
You almost simulate you virality, it. If that's a word.
You simulate it. And my yeah. friends were paying, so they're working for some big ad agencies, big companies, and they told me at an extremely high level how they were making things go viral.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what it was? They were paying for things to go viral.
Wow.
And so things were getting 100 million views because they paid for them to get 100 million views. But in reality, they maybe paid for, what, 20 million views, 30 million views? And the other 80 came from people thinking that this is the craziest video ever. This is going viral, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I took those ideas from different industries, from my friends, and I was like, okay, let's try this. Once again, just educating myself. I knew the pattern, the process. Let's just do this. So I went out and I photographed my daughter. And this gets deeper, but it's yeah. just on a surface level. So
yeah. the first And we talked about this in the RGG podcast, yeah. so I'll direct people there too.
Yeah, RGG podcast, that's more mm-hmm. in depth. But basically I wanted to photograph my daughter. And this is something that I actually had done every year. I photographed her as like a superhero every year or just put her in a scene. And so this year I missed her birthday because I was working. And my wife was like, hey, come on, let's just do something big for her. I was like, okay, fine. So let's go all out. So I had a custom Wonder Woman costume made for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I picked Wonder Woman because I wanted to empower her, and there's like a lot of overly sexualized superheroes that I didn't want to do. So okay, let's do Wonder Woman. And I actually had, so I created the photo shoot, edited the pictures.
Yeah.
And then I had created this network on the side over the years of influencers, people that I knew that had a big following.
Sure.
So when I was done with my, project, I just sent it to them, and I'm friends at this point. So I was like, hey man, what do you think about this project? And one of the people,
so you don't ask, you don't say, you don't go, hey, I created this shot of my daughter, can you please promote it to your audience?
Like I think I've done that once out of all the times that I've submitted.
Wow. You know, okay. Because, and that's a mistake a lot of people make.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a mistake for asking something in return. You know, it goes against that reciprocity where mm-hmm. you want to create a feeling of like indebtedness in people. Anyway, and I just didn't want to push it on them, so I just would submit it to them, but hey dude, check this out, you know, yeah. or, hey, check this out. And so some of them would actually pick it up and they would post it on their page, like, hey, my friend's doing this crazy cool thing. And overnight, one of my big influencer friends posted about it, and I woke up with just like 10 emails from mainstream media,
mm-hmm.
Petapixel, F-Stoppers, Huffington Post, People Magazine, and I was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, and actually the thing about People Magazine, So it was kind of, and going a little bit more in depth, there's different ways to do this when you're pushing a project. You know, one is an influencer push, one is a mainstream media push, and one's a paid push.
Mm-hmm.
And so with some of these campaigns, you want to pay for some exposure, you want to get free exposure through influencers, mm-hmm. micro-influencers, macro-influencers,
mm-hmm.
and then you want to go the mainstream media route. So
how do you do that?
So mainstream media, I submitted this project to People Magazine.
Wait, as a press release?
Yeah. I mean, but see, that's the thing. I never understood what a press release actually was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. that's what people used to do. But yeah. I never understood, like, what the heck is a press release?
Yeah.
And so I just created my own thing. I just said, yeah. I'm going to create an article. I'm going to create something sexy. And I'm going to submit it to them.
Yeah.
Like, freaking as easy as that. Like submit something sexy to them, something that looks cool that they would like.
It's kind of a press release. Yeah,
that is basically a press release.
Yeah, a press release is basically you doing a reporter's work for them, where they can say, well, I need news.
But it's boring.
It's boring. Yeah.
And that's what people used to do. And now with the viral stuff that's going out, people just want to see the hype. They want to see what are you doing. Like, so I would kind of create a press release, a whole blog post, take away the difficulty, you know, from there. And I would say things like, hey, you're the first one I've submitted this to. You know, like nobody, I haven't submitted to anybody else, People Magazine. Would you be interested in picking it up? And then I got a response. So I had my influencer push, I had People Magazine push, which led to Huffington Post, Daily Mail, getting interviewed all over the world.
Now, do you go out to those other ones? So say you get People Magazine bites and they take it. How do you go on to Huffington Post? Do you then leverage and say, hey, People Magazine did this,
you should do it too. You submit to Huffington Post. You find the influencer. Here's the question. You're always trying to do influencer marketing, reaching the people who have influence. So who are the influencers at Huffington Post? Is it the owner of Huffington Post, or is it the writers? It's the writers.
Right.
So that's who you're trying to get in contact with. So I would reach out on Twitter to the writers.
And their Twitter handles are at the bottom of all their articles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the interesting thing is, people ask, like, where do you reach out to the writers at? You reach out where they're spending most of their time. Like, writers spend time on Twitter.
Yeah.
Photographers on Instagram, you know?
Yeah.
So I'd go to Twitter, then I would submit through email, then I would do the influencer thing. So it's just this, like, it's definitely not the lottery.
When you're doing that, over what span of time is this happening? Is this like, you get up at 6 a.m. and you just like go for it, or is it
for a week? You just week.
Okay. Boom. It's that launch wave.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this and we just really. That was the
cruise ship.
Cruise ship.
Oh, that was my ride.
That's loud, dude. That's loud. That thing is loud.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's probably the 30-minute warning.
I know, that was the 30, they knew.
Yeah.
So, what was your question?
That horn just disrupted. It made me afraid that I was missing my
that's marketing, right?
Missing the boat, yeah.
That's marketing. And then somebody, if Angel would have said sleep, we both would have been like.
Yeah, I know, exactly. No, we were talking about cadence and you said you spread this out over a week.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so we would spread these campaigns out over a week to 2 weeks, submitting to people. And
like one day you do People Magazine, next day
No, one day Huffpo. we would get a list and we would have like, we'd reach out to 10 one day and then, or like 20, and then the next day we'd reach out on Twitter and then we'd reach out to more influencers,
sure.
You know.
But then you're reaching out to these people to come, say, check out this project that you did of your daughter in the custom Wonder Woman suit, the series that you did there. But why? So, you know, you want eyeballs on it, but how do those eyeballs convert into anything else?
So how do the eyeballs convert into anything else? So my thought was first, I wanted to create this series. So I wanted to empower my daughter, you know, this was the first time I did anything like this that was viral or whatever, and I had no clue that it was going to go so big. And so it was just to empower my daughter. But the thing is, like, we don't get paid for these. I've done like 5 or 6 now, and we still don't get paid for these. So the why of it is, some of these are really amazing projects to just be a part of. And obviously, it spreads the word. You know, it spreads the word of me, Josh Rossi, like what I do as a photographer. You know, which has led to other opportunities. But you know, it's more so like when some of these projects come along, they're so good that I just cannot pass them up. For example, photographing kids as superheroes.
Yeah.
Like it completely
this
changed
is a great
their life.
Series on your website.
Yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
It completely changed their life, and this is it's at over 260 million views right now. And,
wow.
And it's been all over. I got interviewed in Italy. People flew me out to go to Italy.
We have a special guest coming in.
Yes.
Can we say hello?
Of course.
Can we say, who is this?
This is Rembrandt, or
hello,
African Gray.
Hello, Rembrandt. Welcome to This Week in Photo.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to join you guys.
You are very photogenic. I don't know how you'd hold a camera, but you could be a photographer.
Oh, he pulls it off, definitely.
Yeah, I'm digging awesome. The colors. I love your colors.
Yes.
That's my favorite color scheme right there.
Stand-up guy, loves wine and beer.
All right, see, we have a lot in common.
All right.
See you later.
All right, thanks, Rembrandt.
Dude, that thing's
You're welcome.
Yeah. That thing's, that's so cute.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Where were we? Where were we so interrupted?
Yeah, we were talking about
your daughter.
We were talking about Justice League Kids series.
Yep.
So Justice League Kids series, did amazing things for them. Like it went all over the world, did this whole project. But the cool thing about it, so going back to the Wonder Woman series, I wanted to empower my daughter, so I did this series. And what comes from that is exposure, obviously. But then what was even better was I got calls from dads and emails from dads saying, thank you for inspiring me to spend more time with my daughter.
Mm-hmm. Nice, nice.
Something totally different I never thought of.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wow, this is crazy. And I actually got a call from somebody that said, hey, my daughter's the real Wonder Woman. She's the real superhero. She's going through cancer. And I actually got a few of those calls. And so in a sense, I felt like I was being a little bit selfish or something, because my daughter wasn't sick, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I have to do something about this. Like, that should be my next project, to create the real superheroes
in
society.
Absolutely.
And so that's where the idea came from. We took months to try to find, you know, the right superheroes. And actually, it's crazy because I swear this project was just meant to happen. It's inspired so many people. I actually quit the project after doing work for about 3 months on the project with me and my wife. We quit it completely. Mm-hmm. And we're like, we're done, we can't find the kids. It's so hard, there's so much red tape with the hospital and it's just so difficult. We tried to like partner with somebody to do the costumes, and it was just expensive, and it's like, dude, it is literally impossible. That's what I said, literally impossible, we can't do it. And a month or so passed, and what I found out was somebody that we partnered with took the idea. So they couldn't do this. They shouldn't be doing this in the first place. They took my idea and they started running with it behind the scenes. Mm. They were gonna do that. They were gonna release the same series, you know, different photographers.
Kind of
there was still the idea. Get the photographer, similar idea, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And my wife found this on a Facebook page. Like randomly, she found that this thing was happening. This event was happening, in like a month and a half.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, that's it. It lit a fire in me. I was like, we're gonna do this.
Yeah.
I called the costume designer right away. I was like, I don't care how we're gonna do this. Let's get it done. Yeah. I paid out of my pocket a bunch of money to get these costumes done. Like, we have to do this thing. And every day it was pushing, pushing, pushing. We found the kids somehow, asked people on Facebook. And then at some point we released the project, and I think it was like 5 days before the other one was supposed to get released.
Yeah.
Released it, and it absolutely blew up. And so.
And when you say released it, did you release it the same way you?
The same way.
With the influencers. And
influencers, and at that point, I'd already done two series before that so I did a Beauty and the Beast series, and I did a Wonder Woman series. Together they got 160 million. Views. So I had a lot of media contacts from there. So this launch was going to be the biggest yet.
Yeah.
So I got this media list. We had maybe like 50, 60, like really top end media, Mashable, Gizmodo, like People Magazine, all this. And so we did the huge media push, and we did the huge influencer push, you know, and we did those two.
Jesus.
And
just see, exploded. You're making me want to end this interview so I can go get to work. Literally, I need a spreadsheet going on so I can start doing my influencer hierarchy. That's amazing, man. So see, that's what I mean by digital alchemy, because it's almost like you're playing two-dimensional chess versus one-dimensional, where we're moving our pieces. Oh, I got your rook, or you got my pawn, or whatever. You're up here, down here, and moving laterally and influencing this group and this group to drive traffic down here, which then increases awareness of your brand, which then leads to, I'm assuming, commercial work as well.
Yeah, right? At least the commercial work.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And it's like, I know people are thinking that just sounds so difficult, because that's what I think when people talk about all these marketing strategies. Marketers, there's all these different levels. Like, you can be an amazing marketer and have like 30 marketing avenues and funnels, you know, you mm-hmm. bring people here and here and this, you see the little tweaks they're doing, and that just exhausts me, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just think, once again, back to education, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, there's different levels. Like, I learned how to do this and how mm-hmm. to get here. It wasn't just that I'm talented and I did it. This was after the first series went well, second one we learned more, third one we learned more, fourth, fifth we learned even more.
And you learn by doing.
Yeah.
There's no book or audio book where you can go until you write it, right? To learn the Josh Rosie method, right? You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing that's you have to do this by trying.
Yeah, correct? You try. I mean, I teach it. Just like how we're talking right now, I teach how to do those steps, and like mm-hmm. the exact steps that I do, you know. The funny thing is, people are There's a lot of people that are skeptical online. Mm-hmm. You know, like how we're talking, like I've already given like tons of stuff. You gave stuff, I interviewed you before, you know, just giving information. But people are so dang skeptical about certain things like this, you know? Like they don't want to invest in their education.
Mm-hmm.
Like people will not, if it's paid or not paid, they just don't want to pay for it. They don't want to listen to it because they think it's a scam or they think, you know, it, like I, for a long time I was freely giving all this advice. I was like, dude, this is how you can make something go viral. Like we've got 400 million views and I've done it 6 times.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll tell you everything, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is a huge issue with people and learning in general is you're very skeptical. I was talking to a friend yesterday. I said, hey man, how do I get into like commercial photography? Like, dude, you just, I was like, go to Sue Bryce's course, right?
Yeah.
Or like for weddings or portraits.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, go, who else is doing it? There's another people. I'm doing a commercial photography course. I'll give you access for free. And he's like, dude, like the course costs like $1,500 over here. I'm like, dude, just pay it.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of money, but
right.
Like pay the freaking amount.
Yeah.
You pay $1,500, you're going to make 10,000, then you're going to 20, then 100,000 just off of that little piece.
It's like saying, hey, I will give you, you know, 5 Mac computers for $1,500. Would you take that deal? Right?
But see, like, people think it's a scam,
yeah.
But then like, you know,
yeah.
I guess you have to be careful because there's a lot of people that talk like they don't know what they're talking about. So I see where that comes from.
Yeah.
But it's getting down to like learning the right things, consuming a lot of stuff and testing it, you know,
uh-huh.
Consuming stuff and then testing it because then you'll know what actually is working.
All right. So let's switch gears and talk about, speaking of products like this and,
yeah.
And access and tutorials, there's the whole idea of, you know, Josh is a marketer. Josh is a commercial photographer. You do some philanthropic work, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the series that we were just talking about. But you're also a software entrepreneur, right? And you have a site called FTP. So talk about that side of your business, the training and the software stuff.
Totally random.
Yeah.
I told you this earlier, like I told myself I'd never do certain things
mm-hmm.
in life. One was become a photographer.
Yeah.
Next was own a software. And third was own a charity. And I've almost done all three now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck does, like, why do I lean towards those things?
Yeah.
Before I get into it, like, my thing is the harder something is, the more unique you're gonna be from your competition.
Sure.
So I've always leaned towards the harder things because that separates.
Into it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It separates you from a lot of people. You know, this software I built, it's called Electric Folio. So it's taken 2 years to develop.
Wow.
Like 2 years of bug fixes. I've learned a lot about software and this whole thing. And
sure.
So I built the software. I also built this school where I teach both photography, you know, compositing, the business side of things. But like really what sparked me to do this was I got a concussion that I told you about earlier. I
mm-hmm.
got this concussion.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing soccer and I fell really hard on this concrete and I lost my memory. And so I didn't know how to create art anymore. I didn't know how to do photography.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to do business.
Wow.
And it shocked me. And I had about 6 months, so my memory slowly came back over 6 months, but I had about 6 months where I was in literal panic, like every day, thinking, how do I actually make money? Like, how am I making money right now?
Who am I now?
Who am I? Like, am I waiting for clients to come to me? And it didn't make sense to me. So I started like kind of diversifying and opening my income streams, you know, so I had photography that I was marketing. Then I decided to open up a, you know, school,
mm-hmm.
separate that out into the business, into the photography, and then the software, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think, don't like pigeonhole yourself into one thing. You know, you're not just an artist, you're a creator.
Yeah.
So it's like creators do a lot of different things. And
yeah.
So that's where
I love that word.
That's
creator.
Where these that's where these ideas sort of came from. You know, software, FTP school, the whole thing.
Yeah, I love it. And I love it. So to bring it full circle, by doing all these things, software, commercial photography, the school, education, you're passionate obviously about all this stuff, but you're also passionate about this island that we're on in Puerto Rico. Tell me about that and why you're in Puerto Rico, and you've lived here through Hurricane Maria, and what was the other one that was before Maria?
Irma.
Yeah, Irma. Yeah.
Irma. And there's one on Monday.
There's another one rolling in.
Barrel. Is that it?
Yeah. There's another. The first hurricane of the season is on its way here right now.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean Puerto Rico. Love Puerto Rico. So we came down because the government of Puerto Rico has been in like a really bad depression. So recession since 2008,
yeah.
Same as in the US, but here it's been even worse. So market's just gone down for housing and everything. and it's slowly coming back up now, but they put in these incentive plans for online businesses and for, you know, freelancers, I guess, to come down and to basically save on taxes.
Clever.
And so they incentivize a lot of people to come down. And so me and my wife looked at that and we're like, let's just try it out. Like, I never heard of Puerto Rico. Let's see how it is. So we came down to Puerto Rico and just absolutely loved it. We thought it was gonna be totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, in every possible way. I'm from Italy, she's from Peru, so it wasn't a culture shock. We're like, never heard of Puerto Rico.
Right.
Like, what is Puerto Rico? Living on an island, I heard of island fever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, we love it. There's beaches, it's very Americanized. There's like Costco, there's people are awesome here. There's just so much that's amazing here. This is where people retire.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Wow. It's just an awesome place.
And you're happy here.
Dude, I'm happy.
How does it impact your travel? Because I'm assuming you have to travel from time to time for your job.
Yeah.
Are you able to get in and out?
Yeah.
No problem?
Yeah, travel in and out. Amazon Prime works here.
Yeah. That's the most important thing.
Get stuff in one day.
Amazon Prime works here.
Angel's smiling. He's like,
Uber works here.
Yeah, Uber.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, and dude, this place is beautiful. Where we're at right here, like, we're on a castle, basically.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much history, so untapped. Like, we went and discovered a random cave the other day. I mean, it's such a good place that literally there's spots that I don't tell anybody about. There's secrets of the island that I don't tell anybody about because they're secrets. We keep between us.
Yeah.
You know, in my family, it's like, dude, I'm not telling anybody about this because it's such a private little island, you know? So anyway, as far as tourism goes, like, if anybody's wanting to come down, this place is bomb. It's amazing. We should do a workshop.
We should do a workshop.
It's so cool.
I'm down for doing a
photo work.
I'll
take you everywhere. I'll take you to all the private beaches. I'll take you all the cool places.
We got to do a photo workshop here.
Totally.
We have to do it. You heard it here first, Puerto Rico. It doesn't take that long to get even here.
It's cheap. It's like $350 sometimes when you find tickets.
Yeah.
$350 to $500.
Yep. Love it. Cool, man. Thank you so much for doing this. Give us some URLs where people can go to check out your commercial work, the school, all this stuff. You got so much going on.
Brain freeze. I'm just kidding. It's we're brain fart. I say. So Josh Rose.
Google.com.
Google. Yeah, Josh, you can Google Josh Rossi, actually. Yeah.
The links to this in the YouTube description and on the blog post, so.
Yeah, so Josh Rossi.
In case you're driving right now and you want to just hop over.
Yeah, Google Josh Rossi. That's the main thing. The software is electricfolio.com, but just joshrossi.com.
And
all my stuff.
Yeah, I call it, like, this week of photo, I call it my Rome. All roads lead to, built it in the middle, and,
it's all there.
That's cool, man. Well, thank you.
Dude, you're
And dude,
thing.
Seriously. I'm so happy to have met you. I feel like we're gonna be friends for a long, long time. And congratulations on all your damn success.
Dude,
like,
thanks.
And it's not like, it doesn't feel like you're like, okay, yeah, I succeeded, I know how to do this. I feel like next week you'll have figured out another facet of something that you'll be exploring.
Dude, I know we're done here, but comfort is like a bad thing.
Overrated.
I say desperation is what leads to success, and I've been desperate a lot of the freaking time.
Yeah,
And so that has led to a lot of success, but there's a lot of desperation. There's a lot of nights where you're wondering, like, how to pay for employees, like, how to make the next paycheck, hoping, mm-hmm. that there's so much. So we didn't even talk about that, but.
There's always room for part two.
Yeah,
this is the internet.
Part two.
Cool. All right, man, thanks a lot
thanks,
for doing
man.
This. That's it, you heard it. Google this guy online. We'll have the links to all of his presences online on the in the YouTube description and on the blog post. That's it for this episode. It's time to take that lens cap off.
This is Twit.